Morning, everyone.
Good morning.
And welcome to worship on this crisp morning. I'm sure those of you who came yesterday afternoon had a lovely time. I know I did.
Yes.
It was a really nice afternoon. Just a couple of things to mention. Thursday night here at Denton Burn, we have the Engage event, which is a circuit event. So I'd love as many of you as possible to come, because when it's in our church, we can't be shown up. And if the ones that have offered to help me with the refreshments, if you can see me after the service and we'll sort it out, thank you. It's at 7 o'clock here, and it's led by our own Reverend Tim and Reverend Colin from Hedden. We've also had something from Ponteilan Church. They're holding a one-day Bible study course called Walk Through the Bible on Saturday the 6th of April from 10 till 4:30. There's a form which I'll put up at the back if anybody wants to do it that would like your name. The cost of the course, including booklets and a soup lunch, is £14. But I'll put the information up at the back. Helen would like to just say a quick word now that they're back from their travels.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
We are back. maybe I should say bonjour, because they speak French there. So I've been practicing a little bit, trying to remember. All I could say was, I am 16 years old and I would like to know the way to the post office, which is a bit useless. Seriously, though, we bring you greetings from the Frera Church, which is my mum and dad's local church where we were last week, which was also hosting the conference Sunday service, which was 3 to 4 hours. I'm not sure exactly how long it was because we left. but my mum and dad were there for the long haul. But we were welcomed warmly there in the church, and they asked us specifically to say hello to all of you as well. And were pleased to meet my mum and dad's family. Some of them had met myself and Alan in 2013. Some of them had not. And nobody, of course, had seen the children. And apparently they've heard quite a lot about them, because when my mum preaches, she uses them as examples. So they're so pleased to see us. But yes, they've asked me to send greetings. So we are connected across the world, which is a lovely thing.
I know, I was sitting there thinking, did Lynn mention the lunch today? And I thought, oh, was I daydreaming? Or But if as many of you could stay for lunch today, that would be lovely. Don't worry if your name wasn't on the list. It'd be lovely to have you stay for lunch. We've got plenty of food today. I think there's just one other thing I wanted to mention. Thank you all for coming out in the extreme cold and icy paths and everything. And bearing that in mind, some of the mums who've started kind of helping doing the messy church at Leamington are after collecting sleeping bags and rucksacks primarily, but also woolen hats and gloves and things, winter attire, that they're going to donate to People's Kitchen, who are then going to distribute them out, because there was a concern that there was quite a few sleeping who were homeless, sleeping on the streets, and no sleeping bags or anything to at least have an attempt at keeping warm. So if you've got any old sleeping bags or any old hats and gloves or rucksack that they can put things in this cold winter weather, then please just let me know and I can come pick them up and pass them on, and they'll ultimately go to the People's Kitchen to be given out. Okay, this is something that they wanted to do off their own bat, and I just feel I wanted to help support them in that, you know. So yeah, if you've got anything, that would be brilliant. Got some funny slides. I always have some funny slides before we start, don't I? Where's this one? This is a proper printed Bible. So you'll see that he who raised Chris from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies. All praise to Chris, our Lord. This is this is a part of an order of service from a wedding Not only is the formatting all a bit to pot, but also in the Lord's Prayer, give us today our dairy bread. Okay. Father, F-A-R-T-H-R. Yes, there's probably a number of clangers in that one. But there we are. And this one, this was from Mike Heaps in Chesley Street. He said, in preparation for the covenant service, I typed, come let us sue the grace divine. So that's what they nearly had at Chesley Street in January this year. And funny that Helen should mention children being used in illustrations and things, because I like this. If you live in a pastor's home, you have the right to remain silent, because anything you say or do may be used in sermon illustrations. How apt that one was in this morning. Okay. Right. So we come to worship our Heavenly Father this morning and praise Jesus together. Father God, we've come hungry for you. Bread of life, feed us by your word. God, we've come thirsty for your spirit. Living water, bubble up from inside us. God, we've come tired yet expectant. Faultless Father, meet us in our weakness. It's all about you, Lord, every song, every movement, every word, and every deed. Amen. Okay. Let's say together, praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honour and power and strength be to our God this weekend, this moment, and forever and ever. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing our call to worship song, and our prayer for today will be part of the song as it often is. I'm just going to have to plug this back in for Liz. Almighty God, you have called us in Christ and given us every spiritual blessing that we might be your children. Give to us now of your riches that we may have strength and wisdom and love in sufficient measure to carry out the duties of this day. Amen. Please be seated. Well, it is rather cold and wintry outside, isn't it? So although this isn't actually a beach ball, it's not really a beach ball, but it kind of looks a little bit like a beach ball. It might make us feel a little bit summery if we use it just for a little bit. And it's always good to give thanks for the things that we're feeling grateful for and that we want to thank God for. So I thought we'd do what we have done occasionally before, is we chuck it around the room. And if anybody can think of anything, it might just be one word that they want to give thanks to God for this morning, then just shout it out. If you can't think of anything, just chuck the ball somewhere else. That's fine. All right. So let's have a bit of summer and thank God for things. I'm going to chuck it to Emma. Health. Yeah. Aeroplanes and safe journeys, yeah. Oh, we've knocked Joe's glasses off. Oh dear. Oh. All the help, friends and family, and all the help that they give, yeah. Oh, it hit Albie on the head. You can chuck it somewhere else. Spring, yeah.
Life.
Life, yeah. Life.
Fellowship in this church.
Fellowship in this church, yeah. Great one.
Happiness.
Safely and not slipping. I should perhaps tell you all that outside's now been gritted and salted, so you should be absolutely fine on your way out. You can pass it back now. Thank you. Ooh, that was good. Well done. We couldn't do that again if we tried. I don't think. Okay, let's pray. Let's pray together. We gather in your presence, loving Heavenly Father.
We meet in the name of Jesus to worship and praise you this morning. For by all that you have fulfilled in him, you have indeed put a new song in our mouths and a new song in our hearts. And Father, we've got so much to be thankful for. We do thank you, Lord, for the gift of life. We thank you for health. We thank you for each other and the fellowship and the love and the support that we share here together. Lord, we also meet today to listen for your voice, speaking into our hearts too. Would you give us the eyes to see and the ears to hear as we encounter you? We thank you, Lord, that despite our failings and mess-ups and those times when we get a bit lost, you are the God of new beginnings, and you put that new song in our hearts and on our mouths. Heavenly Father, you've called us to be a new creation in you, putting away the things of old and taking on the new life you lay before us. Let our attitude be that of Christ Jesus, so that we may walk in his ways. Indeed, that we might become even more people of the way, as Jesus' early followers were known as. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are our teacher and our guide, and that we can indeed be a new creation in you. The old has gone, the new has come. And in his precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing Give Thanks Now. Give thanks with a grateful heart. It's number 78 in Singing the Faith, but the words will be on the screen too. So let's stand to sing, Give Thanks. Please be seated. Right. What have we got on the next slide? That one. That one. Okay. Right. I've got two phones with me this morning. I'll show you this one first. Well, I can't really show you it. I can open it and show you it. This is a really posh smartphone, okay? It's got loads and loads of features. It's, well, have a think. What kind of features do you think this might have? Yeah, it'll do voice recognition. Yeah, that's not a problem. You can speak commands into it. Camera, yes, it's got a very good camera. Yes, oh yes, it'll do email, yes, not a problem, yes. High definition camera, it'll do high definition video as well. Any other ideas? Torch, yes. Sat-nav, yes. It can guide me, direct me. It can do all sorts of amazing things. I can publish things to the world on this smartphone. Ring people. Hey, now there's a feature. We should suggest that to them. I think they could be onto something there. Yeah. It's got lots of amazing features and powers as this phone, right? This one, bless it. This one's a little bit more simple, okay? It's hardly got any function at all, except one, actually. You can ring people, that's right. You can ring people. But apart from that, that's about the only... its battery will last a week. It's funny you should say that, because there's a big difference between these two, right? This one, actually, at the moment, has nothing at its heart. It has no battery. And all those powers and amazing things that it can do, at the moment, mean nothing. Nothing at all. This one, at its heart, you can see it lights up. This one has a battery at its heart that makes it light up, and as Alan says, this one will last probably a week and a half, actually, maybe even 2 weeks if it's not been used. It will last a long, long time and light up any time you want, because at its heart it's got a good battery. If I showed you these two phones and told you all about them, but you'd never seen a phone before, right, in the state that they are now, which one would you be most impressed by? Which one would have the most effect, that's right, on you, an impact on you? It would be this one, wouldn't it? Because at the moment, there's nothing at the heart of this one, despite all the special powers we might claim for it. Yeah? A little bit later on in our service, we'll be hearing the reading from St. Paul's letter to the church at Corinth, when he's talking about the special gifts that can empower the church and all the amazing different gifts that the church can be equipped with. But he says one very, very important thing too. He says, without love at our heart, we are nothing. All those special gifts and powers and abilities, important though they may be, without love at our heart, we have nothing. We need to have love sitting right at the very core of everything that we say and do and are. Otherwise, we're like this. And we certainly need to be like this. So there you go. My two smartphones with you. We're going to sing now again. Do you want to join in with this one? Shall we? I've got tambourines. Does anybody want to use the cajon? We haven't played that for a long time. We're going to sing, if I can find it in my notes here. I mentioned in our prayers God putting a new song in our hearts, and this song, it's number 42 in Singing the Faith. You will need your hymn books for this one. But it's a good rhythmic one, so I need rhythm for this. Oh, sing to the Lord. Oh, sing God a new song. Sing to the Lord. Sing God a new song. It's very simple, but it's a lovely one. So shall we stand to sing? Number 42. Number 42 in your red books. Okay? You got your tambourines? Let's pray. Let's just pray. Lord, as the young folk go out into Sunday Club, I just pray that they will bless your name too, as we continue to bless your name in here. You put a new song in our hearts, Lord, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Okay, we'll see you later. So we have our two Bible readings for this morning then. The first one is from John chapter 15, and it's Jesus addressing his disciples not long. Oh no, this is after he's been raised. I'm sorry, I get muddled up. And then the second passage is from 1 Corinthians, and it's that reading that I alluded to when we were looking at the phones.
As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends If you do what I command, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other.
Corinthians chapter 13, reading verses 1 to 13. And it's entitled, the portion's entitled, Love. And now I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It is not rude, it is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection, as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Leonora. Thanks, Lynn. We're going to sing again. You need your books. It's number 266 in your books. We have sung this one before, so hopefully it won't be completely unfamiliar to you. All the room was hushed and still. I need my cup. Shall we stand? Sorry, I've just realised I haven't got the second verse in front of me. 266. Sorry about that. 266. Right. That's it. Please be seated. Here, there's one or two of us have got coughs and colds this morning, and I forgot to mention at the beginning, I mean, I'm quite bunged up myself, and so I've decided as a favour to you good folk, I'm actually, I personally am not going to touch your bread and wine this morning, because I don't think it would be much of a blessing when I had handed it to you. So Lynn and Maureen will both be helping to distribute the bread and the wine, and I, for one, are not touching your bread and wine this morning. So it'll look a little different this morning. There was a song first made popular by Jackie DeShannon a few years ago, way back in 1965. What the world, oh dear, it's disappearing off the bottom. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. That's right. Music written by Burt Bacharach, a very prolific composer in his time. As we look around us at the things going on in the world, the sentiment of the song has probably never been more true than it is now. What the world needs now is love. But I wonder whether we could also sing it of the church too. Is it true to say that what the church, the widest church, needs now is love, sweet love? And what kind of love should that look like? I wonder what you think of if I was to ask you, what are the real hallmarks of a Christian church? And by church, I don't mean the building. I mean the people, the living stones of the real church, as the book of 1 Peter describes it. What should we see at the heart of a community of Jesus people if we're authentically putting Jesus at the centre of all that we do? Our first reading then from John's Gospel places us with Jesus and his disciples at the end of the Last Supper. Jesus has knelt down and washed their feet in John's account, and there's been the exchange with Judas, and he's exited stage left, or maybe right. And now Jesus is talking to the remaining 11 disciples before they head across the Kidron Valley to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus will ultimately be arrested and betrayed. So Jesus is talking to his disciples, and some call this section of John's Gospel the farewell discourse. You could say this is the potted summary as events are about to move on. And Jesus is saying to his followers, essentially, this is what you, my disciples, really need to remember. And in the verses leading up to this bit that we had, Jesus uses that powerful metaphor of himself being the vine and his followers being like his branches. And he stresses to them the importance of remaining in him, remaining rooted in the vine, and the fact that he will be shown to be his disciple. They will be shown to be his disciples by bearing much fruit. And then we hit verse 9, where Jesus says to them, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you." And then he tells them that if they keep his commands, they will remain in his love. And then he says to them, "I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." Given what is about to unfold in the story, it perhaps seems a strange time to be talking to them about joy. So what command was he saying to be obeyed and which would enable them to experience the complete joy of Jesus living in them? Well, he says, "My command is this, to love each other as I have loved you." There's no greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. "And make no mistake, you are my friends," he says to them. "I've shared everything with you. Everything I've learned from the Father," he says to them, "I've shared with you. Haven't kept anything back." I wonder how we feel about Jesus turning to us this morning and saying, "You are my dear friends. You're not my servants. You didn't choose me. I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit that will last." Jesus chooses us as friends and appoints us as co-workers to bear fruit and to love in that sacrificial, laying down kind of way that Jesus was about to demonstrate on the cross. There seems to be this strange but inextricable link in the scriptures between deep and complete joy and sacrifice. That the very best and complete and lasting kind of joy can be discovered as we sacrifice and let go. Hebrews chapter 12 tells us why Jesus endured the sacrifice of the cross. It says he did it for the joy set before him, as he scorned the shame of a criminal's death, and as he endured such opposition for the joy set before him, as he ultimately sits down at the right hand of the throne of God. And Jesus appoints his first disciples, as indeed he appoints us, to love each other, demonstrating the same kind of love as he demonstrated to us. Loving the Jesus way is sacrificial, because loving those that we naturally like and kind of naturally connect with, well, that's great, that's how it should be. But that kind of love doesn't involve laying anything down. It's easy, doesn't require any sacrifice. Why? Well, because we like nice people who are like us. And people who aren't followers of Jesus and who don't love the Jesus way are perfectly capable of loving folk around them that they happen to like, just as well as we ever could. If we were to come into a church setting, into the midst of a group of Christians, and see that kind of love, well, that means that the church is doing as well at showing love for each other as the working men's club down the road, or the golf club, or many other many places of community that can be found. Because that kind of love doesn't require any grace. It's easy. But that's not the kind of sacrificial love that Jesus is commanding us to show. Loving those who are different from us costs. It requires grace, because that love might well be undeserved. Perhaps because of something they've said or done. Maybe they've offended us, perhaps. Their priorities are a bit different. Their convictions are maybe different. Showing love towards those kind of folk requires laying down, maybe of pride, of time, perhaps of resources, as we seek to love and be radically generous to people who we really might not even like that much in the natural. But if that kind of love is found at the centre of the Christian community as the hallmark of that community, then that love is of the kind that is distinctly different, incredibly powerful. And although it costs, through it, we discover the deep and very complete kind of joy that Jesus was talking about. Because that kind of love is the kind that Jesus demonstrated towards us. Because his sacrificial love for us, his going to the cross for us, required grace, because it was unmerited. Romans 5 reminds us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God looked at our hearts, because he knows every thought and intent that goes on in here, and it wasn't pretty. But while we were still spiritual vagrants, if you like, Christ demonstrated his kind of love towards us in enduring the cross. And why? Because of his sacrificial love for us and for the joy set before him. And he calls us to obey his command to love in that same distinctive and powerful and grace-filled way that he demonstrated towards us. He calls us to love in a way that is very different from the normal protocols of showing love that the wider world operates under. And we might think, well, I can't do that. I can't show that kind of love. Well, in one sense, that's absolutely true. On our own, we really can't. That's why one of the prerequisites is to be rooted in the vine that is Jesus, and to remain abiding in him. Only then can we bear the kind of fruit that we were appointed to bear, not as his servants, but as his friends and co-workers for the kingdom. And when people see that kind of love in operation, it's the most powerful witness that there can be, to be the kind of transformation, the life that a life found abiding in Jesus can bring, as our joy becomes complete and as our love for the other becomes strong. The early Jewish followers of Jesus had to face all this head on in a big way when it became clear that it was God's intention through Jesus to save and redeem a whole bunch of the great unwashed known as the Gentiles. Gentile, by the way, of course, just meant non-Jew, not like them at all. Extending the arm of authentic love and fellowship to a group who they weren't even supposed to eat with. Well, that was a massive deal. But in that story from Acts, Peter has that strange dream where God told him three times to associate by eating with all sorts of things that by the Jewish rules were considered impure and unclean. And then to cut a long and amazing story short, the next day Peter finds himself in Caesarea at Cornelius' house in the middle of a large gathering of Gentiles who've gone there. And Cornelius says to Peter, essentially, "We're here to listen to everything that the Lord has commanded you to tell us. We're all ears. Tell us what you need to tell us." And Peter says to them, "I realize now how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right." And then Peter tells them the good news of peace through Jesus and about how he was killed and hung upon the cross, but then how God raised him from the dead on the last day. So here, there were the Gentiles in Cornelius' house, these non-Jews that the Jewish believers had little in common with. Here they are with open hearts receiving that good news message about Jesus. And we read that even before Peter had finished speaking to them, the Holy Spirit came upon all who were hearing the message, and they began speaking in tongues and praising God. And it says the Jewish circumcised believers who'd gone along with Peter were astonished by what was going on as the gifts of the Holy Spirit were being poured out even on those Gentiles. And Peter says essentially, well, that's it then. These Gentiles have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. These people who many Jews would say were far beneath them, were far inferior in many of their eyes. And Peter had to concede there's no difference between them and us in God's eyes. Surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water, he says. And it says he was invited to stay with them for a few days. And so he stayed and presumably ate and shared with their families and learned to love those who were not like him at all. And he wasn't even supposed to associate with them by all the normal protocols that he had. In fact, that whole episode got him into a lot of trouble with the Jewish believers back in Jerusalem, and he was called to give an account of what had gone on. But this was the early church learning how to love the other and to celebrate this new life in Jesus as a community of believers and a community of grace and love together, however different from one another they might first appear to be. And in one sense, this is how the Christian faith spread so powerfully, because people saw that these followers of Jesus loved all people in ways they maybe hadn't experienced before. I recently heard an American minister telling an amusing story about when she was training in a seminary, and they would have what she called worship class. She said they would often start worship class with a hymn. People would sometimes shout out and request something. And she says, we would leaf through our new century hymnals and find that hymn, singing it loudly. And one day someone shouted out really loudly their request. And she said, no one groaned or complained at this request except our professor, she said. As the professor replied, oh, I hate that hymn. It drives me crazy. Well, the student who requested it looked a little defeated and embarrassed. But, she said, our professor quickly recovered herself. And here's what she said. She said, it's true that I hate this hymn, but if you love it, then I will sing my heart out, because you are my brother in Christ and I love you. And this minister in training said, I will never forget that moment. That, my friends, is church. And that is the kind of love that Jesus commands us to have at the centre and as the hallmark of who we are as the people of Jesus. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. Maybe we need to embrace that sentiment afresh for the church too, as we commit to abiding in Jesus together and as we take up our appointed task of loving others in the way that he loved and still loves us too. Let's pray. Lord, we don't just want to be people of words or of love that is easy and natural, because it's when we would love anyway. We don't just want to be noisy gongs with lots of Christian bells and whistles, but no love at our heart. Lord, help us to be people that love each other in a different kind of way. In a way that really shows, because it continues when naturally it would cease. Help us to love when naturally we might grumble or complain. Because that kind of love, Lord, is sacrificial and of the Holy Spirit. And that kind of love is the kind of witness to the wider world that you call us to live out. Help us, Lord, to be people of your kind of sacrificial love. Father, as we look around us at this troubled world, where things are not as you originally intended them to be, and with love that really changes things, often in short supply, we pray today, Lord, for all those places around the world where conflict and chaos are endured by people on a daily basis. We continue to pray for the people of the Yemen after 4 years now of conflict and more than 14 million people facing starvation, and many describing it as the worst humanitarian crisis in the world today. Father, we hold this terrible situation before you, and we pray that political deadlock there would be broken, that hardened hearts will be softened, that people will come before power, and that true justice and peace might once again shape the nation of Yemen. We continue to pray too for Syria and for Venezuela slipping towards civil war, and for the many other places too where light and hope and love need to break through. We hold before you, Lord, those who work in organisations that seek to turn around the lives of people living in such difficult circumstances. We pray, Lord, for organisations like Tear Fund and their partners working in places like the Yemen. And we ask that your strength and guidance would be upon all those who offer hope and light in dark places around the world. We pray, Lord, for Helen's mum and dad, continuing their work and showing their love out in Haiti. Lord, give them your strength and your peace. Bless them in their work. As we look to here in the UK, we see a different kind of chaos as the political turmoil of Brexit continues. Lord, in a complicated situation with polarized views and no easy way forward, we simply pray for our nation. We pray for tolerance. We pray for peace. And we pray, Lord, for civilized and constructive discussion and discourse and decision making at this critical time. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we also pray this morning for those known to us personally who are on our hearts at the moment, perhaps those struggling with illness or loss or others in difficult circumstances. We'll have a moment of quiet now, and if anybody wants to just mention a name or a situation, please feel free to do so. Lord, we hold names and situations before you, both spoken as well as silent. Lord, would you have your healing hand upon all these people, and may they know your peace and your strength. In the precious name of our Lord and Saviour Jesus, we pray. Amen. So if we can jump to our next slide, we're actually going to share our peace together. We have the next slide. Thank you. Can I ask you all to stand? We are the body of Christ. In the one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Let us therefore keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Would you like to shake the hand of whoever's next to you and offer a greeting of peace? Would you like to turn to number 416? 416 in your red books. There's a wideness in God's mercy, like the wideness of the sea. There's a kindness in his justice, which is more than liberty. 416. We'll sing together. Oh yes, the offering will be taken during this. There's a wideness in God's mercy, like the wideness of the sea. There's a kindness in his justice, which is more than liberty. Please be seated. Oh, I get those. I've got you guys at the front. Thank you. Sorry, I've confused you all. Let's pray together. Loving Father, we do just thank you for all the many blessings that you shower upon us each day. Lord, would you just help us to pour out your love to all those around us. We offer you all our resources for your glory and for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Can I ask Lynn to come? Lynn's going to be my hands this morning. So friends, this is the table of Jesus Christ and our table. Gather around it in freedom and in faith, because we are the loved people of God, the guests invited to the feast. Lift up your hearts and minds above your cares and fears, and let this bread and wine be for you the sign of the grace, the love, and the communion of God. We celebrate the holy God, the source of life and all that is, the one whose being creates in all eternity the wonders of reality with beauty, imagination, costliness, and love. We celebrate Christ Jesus, life that knows no boundaries, truth that never turns aside, grace more powerful than death, and humanness that joins divine. We celebrate the Holy Spirit, wisdom moving in our midst, preparing the way for fullness of life with gifts of courage, energy, and joy. God above us, God below us, God within us, and God beside us, we celebrate your being with endless thanks and praise. With love for his friends, on the night that he was betrayed, Christ took bread, and giving thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then after supper, Christ took the cup, and again giving thanks, he gave it to the disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." And so we pray, be present risen, Lord Jesus, by your Holy Spirit, as you were with your disciples, and make yourself known to us in the breaking of the bread. For you live and reign with the Creator and the Holy Spirit, one God, for ever and ever. Amen. And so let us pray with confidence in the words that our Saviour gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We who are many are one body in Christ, for we all share in the brokenness of life, and we all share in the bread of life. So draw near with faith and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, and all are welcome at this table. So we pray the words of our final prayer together. We thank you, gracious God, for feeding us in body, heart, soul, and mind. We receive with gratitude all that you so graciously offer to us, and commit ourselves to love you, each other, and the world. Amen. Amen. We sing our last hymn together, our final hymn for today. Number 685 in your red books. Number 685. In Christ there is no east or west. So go in peace, in the power of the Holy Spirit, to sacrificially love as Jesus sacrificially loved. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest and remain with each one of you this day and forevermore. Amen.